If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Today marks the end of 1971 as far as Sundays are concerned. On this last Sunday of 1971, we do well to take an inventory of our lives. How has it been with you in this year? Has your life been productive? Have you been counting for Christ? Have you used your time and talent to the furtherance of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, and Christianity? Well, whatever has not been done during 1971 will hardly be done now. But surely we can, in the closing days of this year, resolve in our hearts that the days ahead, as the Lord spares our lives, will be more productive and more fruitful in our service for Christ. It has been a joy during 1971 for Worth Baptist Church to bring you this radio ministry. Week after week, we have given to you the Word of God. We shall, by the grace of God, continue to do so in the coming year of 1972. Perhaps you have intended all year long to visit some of the services of Worth Baptist Church. Well, on this last Sunday, surely this would be a good time for you to do so. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible. We emphasize the Word of God. We believe it is the book of books. So we invite you to share with us Bible study in the Sunday school hour every Sunday at 10 o'clock. And then in our Sunday morning worship service at 11, there'll be singing that will bless your heart, a message from God's Word, and fellowship with God's people. Likewise, in the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. I trust that these days of 1971, the very closing days, will bring the blessings of God to your heart, to your home, and to your life. We would be happy to hear from you in these days. If you will write us this week, we will send you one of our booklets entitled Times Like These. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled The Church of the 20th Century, Where Is It Going? I'm going to read to you from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, the words of Christ concerning the building of the church. Before we read these verses, I want you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the church and its ministry in 1971. As these days of this year come to a close, may each of us be resolved in our own hearts and minds that we will be in service for Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might take inventory of our hearts and that we might see ourselves as Thou dost see us. We bring before Thee the needs of every listener, those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who have suffered tragedy and loss over the holidays. We ask that the Holy Spirit would comfort and bless them in a measure that would be pleasing to Thee. May this broadcast bring honor and glory to the name that is above every name, even the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, I begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. More than 200 years ago, the French atheist and philosopher Voltaire said, and I quote, The church will be forgotten shortly, and the Bible will become a discarded book. Admittedly, the church has some serious problems in the 20th century. We are wading through some very troubled waters. The church today finds itself wondering what to do next. But beloved, in spite of what Voltaire and all the critics and all the atheists and all the agnostics and all the unbelievers have ever said, the Bible is still alive. It is still the Word of God, and the church moves on. The promise of Jesus Christ still stands. The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Remember, Jesus did not say He was building our church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Beloved, the church of the living God is moving forward today. My message entitled, The Church of the 20th Century, Where is it Going? Is a very timely one. Again, in spite of all the predictions of the agnostics and atheists, the church is moving forward in the 20th century. That is the true church. That church, that ecclesia, that called out assembly that is made up of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the modern church has departed from the faith. Many denominations are leaving the principles of the Word of God. I want to share with you several thoughts on today's broadcast concerning the church of the 20th century. First of all, let us consider the theology of the modern church. Unbelief, skepticism, and higher criticism are universal, and these are words that describe the modern church. This is a fulfillment of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Peter reminds us in this epistle that in the latter days there would false prophets arise. Listen to what Peter says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter reminds us, indeed he warns us, that in the last days there will come false teachers who will teach destructive heresies in an attempt to destroy the faith. Peter says they will teach false doctrines that will divide Christians. Peter goes on to say that they will even deny the Lord who has bought them. What are the essentials of the Christian faith? What do we really believe? Can we trust the doctrines of the Bible? The essentials of the Christian faith, we believe, are these. 1. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. By that we mean that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God, just as much God as though He had not been man, and just as much man as though He had not been God. A second cardinal and essential doctrine of the Christian faith is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If there be no virgin birth, then Christianity is only a myth that will succumb to its own deception and in the end be buried beneath the ashes of its own presumption. We do believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A third essential of the Christian faith is the atoning death of Christ upon the cross. We believe that Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and without and apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, there is no remission of sin. We further believe another essential of the Christian faith is the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead. We believe that Christ was raised in a real body, And we further believe another essential of the Christian faith is the visible return of Christ. We know that scoffers come in the last days asking, where is the sign of His coming? What about the prophecy? What about the promises? Yes, they ask these questions because they are ignorant of this one thing, Peter declares in his third chapter of his second letter. They are ignorant that one day in the sight of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. By God's reckoning, Jesus Christ has only been ascended into the heaven less than 3 days. So the time element of God brings us to know that at any moment, at any time, the Lord Jesus Christ may appear for His own. These essentials of the Christian faith are those doctrines that we hold dear to our hearts. Many have staked their lives upon them. Many have died for them. Many have given all that they've ever owned, investing their lives in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But in these days of the modern church, the church of the 20th century, these essentials of the Christian faith are being denied. Preachers are denying these, pastors, theologians, professors in seminaries and colleges all across the United States and around the world are denying the cardinal essential doctrines of the Christian faith. I am of this opinion that anyone who denies these is not only unchristian, but he is anti-Christian and has in him the spirit of the Antichrist. So says John in his first epistle, chapter 4, that if any man denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that is, that he was virgin born, that he took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh in the incarnation, anyone who denies this, John says he is Antichrist, and the spirit of Antichrist was working in John's day. How much more, 2,000 years later, is the spirit of Antichrist working in the modern world through modern theology and in the modern church? I repeat, those who deny these cardinal essential doctrines of the faith are anti-Christian and are working under the influence of the Antichrist. So says the Bible, 1 John chapter 3, a correction, chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 3. So the theology of the modern church has departed from the ancient path of believing the verbal inspiration and the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. Secondly, I speak of the morality in the modern church. What about the morals of today, of 1971, of the 20th century? How are they related to the doctrines and teachings of the church? What about this new morality, this new code of ethics? There are those who believe and teach, and I might add preach, that whatever you want to do is all right if you want to do it. Situation ethics, the new morality, the new approach to life in this promiscuous society of ours has brought many to the pitfall of destruction. No wonder we have so many suicides in our country today. Over 40,000 people every year take their lives. Among college students, the rate is very high. 10,000 college and university students attempt suicide every year. 1,000 of them succeed. Incidentally, the greatest percentage of suicides is among psychiatrists in our country. And the number one city in America with the highest rate of suicide is Beverly Hills, California. People who live there are rich. They are popular, they are well known, they are celebrities, and yet they have a greater rate of suicide, a higher percentage of suicide of any city in the United States of America. What's the reason for all of the confusion, the chaos, the suicide, the murder, the crime, the dope in our country? Why all of these things? I believe the answer to that question lies in this statement. We have departed from the faith. We have forsaken God's Word. We've listened to modern psychology and modern psychiatrists, and we've been reading the wrong books. Progressive education has taught our children that they are nothing more than animal, and many of them are behaving like it today. We need in the modern church to return to the principles and the precepts and the practices of the old black back book, the Bible, the Word of God. I go here one further. We do not need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread it in the 20th century. I believe the Ten Commandments are just as binding as they were the day that God gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. If lying was wrong then, it is wrong now. If murder was wrong then, it is wrong now. If adultery was wrong then, it is wrong now. If stealing was wrong then, it is wrong now. If worshiping idol gods was wrong then, it is wrong now. Times have changed, I admit. Men change, fads change, fashions change, institutions, governments, parliaments, courts, Congress, methods, approaches, all of these change, but beloved, the principles of the Bible do not change. Someone has put it this way, methods are many, principles are few. Methods change often, principles never do. Beloved, God has not changed. The Bible has not changed. God has not changed His mind about sin. God has not changed His mind about you. If you're a sinner, God hates your sin, but God loves you. The Bible teaches us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God hates sin, but God loves the sinner, and this means you. If you think no one in all the world loves you, I've got good news. God loves you, and He has given the Lord Jesus Christ to prove His love for your soul. So the morality of the modern church has come to the point when many are being deceived and led astray by the blind. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they fall in the ditch together. A third area of thought is the ecumenical movement of the modern church. The word ecumenical comes from the Greek word oikoumene. It refers to a geographical measure of the earth. Many times it's used in the scriptures. For example, the scripture that I just quoted. For God so loved the world, the oikoumene, the whole inhabited earth. It is used in the scripture that teaches that we should take the gospel into all the world, into all the oikoumene. So the word ecumenical has a good meaning in its origin. But beloved, it has become, like many other theological phrases and terms, desecrated by modern theology and modern theologians. In the year 1925, a series of interchurch meetings were held. By 1938, a temporary ecumenical council was formed. In 1948, the World Council of Churches was formed. And in 1950, the old Federal Council of Churches became the National Council of Churches. The purpose of these so-called worldwide church organizations is to form a super church, a world organization. Their purpose is to unite all churches and to embrace all faiths. Well, that sounds good on the surface. But beloved, it calls for a compromise by Bible-believing Christians. And I, for one, do not believe that Bible-believing Christians can embrace the liberalism fostered by modern theology. I do not believe that Bible-believing Christians can endorse the program of the National Council of Churches or the World Council of Churches. They've gone on record, many of the leaders of these groups, as denying the cardinal truths of the Bible. We cannot endorse such programs and at the same time believe that the Bible is the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. I do not believe that Bible-believing Christians can enjoy the fellowship with liberals and unbelievers. I do not believe that Bible-believing Christians can sanction the so-called new approach to worship, such as was flashed on your screen a couple of weeks ago. Beloved, the hour is upon us. when we must recognize that the Bible draws a line. The Bible gives a dividing line between truth and error, between righteousness and unrighteousness. And the Word of God does not teach us, as Bible believers, to go in unto them to form an ecumenical council. The Bible tells us to come out from among them. The Bible tells us to be separate. The Bible warns us that our warfare is not with material weapons. Our warfare is, and we wrestle against, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so today, the modern church, the church of the 20th century, is becoming apostate. And the Bible tells us in the Revelation 17 and 18 what is going to happen to the apostate church. The apostate church will, for a while, after the rapture of the true church, reign supremely. But then the Antichrist and all of his forces will overthrow the apostate church. And the Antichrist will set up his own image to be worshipped by men all over the earth. Before all of this happens, something must happen to true believers, to the true church. I speak now of the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away his waiting bride. This is what's going to happen to the true church. It's going to be caught up into heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. And so the hope of the true church today and true believers all over the world is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, where do you stand? As 1971 ends, who knows, Christ might come before the year leaves us. He might come before a new year begins. Where do you stand? What about today? Will today find you in the house of God? Why not prepare now to bring the family to Sunday school and church? Go somewhere today that you can hear the Word of God and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And we hope that as the year ends, you will take inventory of your life, giving God first place, giving God the glory and the honor and the praise for all that He's done for you during this year. And above all, we admonish you, as always, to keep on